final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women, old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap!
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Shazoo's Mad Science. I'm out here in my Mad Science Laboratory, and apparently the apocalypse is back on. So, all these years we've been talking about getting ready for any just such an emergency kind of deal. Let me kind of set the stage how the apocalypse started in my area. Of course, it's not right in my backyard. It's kind of down the street an hour or so, but if you go up there to St. Louis, it started off a 6'4" black man goes in. Actually, he's supposedly a teenager, but he's 6'4". He's a big dude. Goes up into a convenience store as to purchase a bunch of cigars, and then turns around and strong arms robs the cigar store owner and mugs him on the way out, and takes off with his cigars and walking down the middle of the road. Later on, he meets up with the police officer, who tells him then to get out the road, mister. Well, he didn't take kindly to saying get out the road, mister, and tried to mug the police officer. In the process of trying to mug the police officer, he gets shot. Of course, then he don't have no gun. So now you got a white police officer killed a black teenager, a huge black teenager, and then along come the protesters. Went from protesting to rioting, looting and pillaging, busting in stores, stealing wigs and wheels and beer and whatever else they could get their hands on. Well, then in come the big old militarized police force and basically kind of roughed everybody up. Then in come the media, who then kind of told everybody that these folks were getting roughed up by the militarized police. Then in comes a highway patrol guy who gets everything calm and cool and collect. And then later on that afternoon, all heck breaks loose. And so they're back to rioting and looting and pillaging again. So, I'll add a little bit of something in there. See, here you go. The guy steals a car. He slams it into the telephone pole and the light pole and shoots out the power grid, and now you ain't got no electricity. That's what we've been trying to say all these years, you know, planning for just such an emergency, knowing what kind of junk around your house that you can use to generate a little bit of electricity. If nothing else, to at least charge up a cell phone. Well, you ain't gonna be able to use your cell phone because we knocked that down too. Get you some batteries and charge your batteries up. Maybe you got one of those little fans that you can put in front of your face whenever it's hotter than heck outside. I don't know what necessarily you're going to do with the heating situation unless you're into wood burning or wood gasification, or you can burn some hydrogen and make you a stove out of that. There's all kinds of alternative energy deals. But either way, it's proof positive. You never know when the apocalypse is going to show up on your back door. Actually, it's kind of on my back door, kind of down the street a few hours, an hour or so. I don't know. I ain't been to St. Louis in a long time. I don't plan on going to St. Louis. Last time I was in St. Louis, their streets are crazy. I ended up making a complete loop around St. Louis before I finally got out of St. Louis, going in the opposite direction. I was heading to Florida. Don't ask me how that happened, but that's what happened. I was in the wrong lane. I couldn't get over. Those St. Louis drivers drive like they got both feet on the carburetor. And so I couldn't get to the right when I needed to get off that off-ramp. So almost on the second go, I almost went around for a second loop around St. Louis. You know, see the big, beautiful arches and all that kind of stuff. But somehow or another, I eked my way over into the other lane, and my heart's a-pounding, and I'm stressing, and I'm on my way to see my brother down in Florida and that kind of stuff, and I was glad to see St. Louis in my rearview mirror. But either way, it's happening down there, and they're actually having a couple protests down here in my general vicinity on the opposite direction, another 45 minutes that way in Kansas City. So I live out in the country, thank God. And hopefully you'll be able to move out to the country before the apocalypse happens. But either way, you're going to have to do some research, do some prepping or something, throw some water bottles on the shelves in your house and some extra canned goods or something, because this world done gone freaking nuts. So, we got Thomas on here, and we got Cultus in the background sleeping. How you guys doing?
We're still waking up too. We've been stressed. I've been a little stressed out about hearing about all this stuff, but you know, I'm not as stressed out about the riots and whatnot, because you know they happen and then they die down and they go away. I mean, it's a shame that a human life was lost in the hall, but you know, what can you do? You can't go over there and you know, sort it. You can't go back in time and stop it. Can't, you know, help that guy out so he's not turning into the strong arm, you know, cigar stealing thug that apparently he turned into, with obviously no common sense to attack somebody who has a gun.
Yeah,
I don't know, that doesn't sound right. I mean, there's a you know, Anonymous released the actual dispatch audio from all of that, because the, you know, they told them, they said, look, don't be using violent force or deadly force, you know, on the protesters. They, you know, chose not to.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you that.
And apparently that's how the riots really got started, was because, you know, they basically, you get one side starts, you know, somebody yells something and, you know, maybe throws something, then all of a sudden the other side is, you know, completely on the offensive now, not on the defensive anymore. And then, you know, the second they go on it, then the other side goes completely ballistic too. It's not just that one guy now. Now it's everybody after everybody else, and nobody really remembers who started what, you know.
Well, the first episode happened, they had the military, the MRAPs, and all the military gear and all that kind of stuff, and they're down there and shooting off tear gas and all that kind of stuff. But when this last episode broke out, the cops just sat back and let them do it. They just said, go ahead, get it over with, you know, and then we'll clean up afterwards or something. You know, get everything on, all the evidence on tape or whatever. But the whole thing is, there you go. That's what bothered me about the whole Y2K that I knew wasn't going to be nothing more than a bunch of hockahooey anyway, because by that time they already knew how to fix the computers and it was already a done deal. Might have a few small systems go down here and there, but it wasn't going to be no worldwide apocalypse. But it's the fact
The apocalypse is going to be the one you don't see coming.
Yeah, it's the fact that if the lights so much as flickered, everybody's like, oh, it's doomsday, it's Y2K, man. So you see how they act, you know.
Yet nobody's even talking about this Ebola situation, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over in Africa. Who cares? We're out in the middle of the country here. But, you know, it's like, wait a minute, aren't you in the buckle of the Bible Belt, where they basically have missionaries coming and going here all the time from all over the world, and there's a 30-day delay between the time you get infected and the time you actually get sick for some people.
And so our borders are wide open in all different directions, so we got people who are sick coming across, we got people who want to kill us coming across, we got people looting and rioting and pillaging up in St. Louis, and probably before too long.
And yet we're ready to basically go to arms and start shooting people who are just wanting to come and get a job.
Yeah.
You know, how ludicrous is that?
So if you are interested in alternative energy and alternative medicine, your times are running out, because you never know when the apocalypse is going to show up, and apparently the apocalypse is back on. You know, it was off there for a while, and everything was calmed and cool and collect, and then bam, it's right there again,
well,
man.
You know what, though? There is an apocalypse that's always looming over every single person's head. You know what that apocalypse is?
Financials, one of them.
It should be the one most important driving factor to keep you motivated doing the things that you feel you should be doing, and that is the fact that the apocalypse for you is going to come one day in the form of death. You are going to die. No matter what else happens in the world, one day you're going to be laying on your deathbed, most likely, because, you know, modern science has basically made it possible where people die a very slow, agonizing death now instead of just dying quickly off. And you're going to get plenty of time to lay back and think about all the stuff you did not do.
Well, you know what?
That should be the most motivating thing in the world. Go out and start working on those things you feel you need to be working on.
I agree.
Don't put them off one more second.
I agree. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not even stressed off. That's so far in the back of my mind. I don't even think about it. And I don't care if they even
self could be the stressful thing. The stressful thing should be whether you actually, you know, at least did something with your life before you go, you know?
Brother, I've done so much in my life. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, I've been everywhere. I've been overseas. I've been all over the U.S., and I've got to do a lot of things.
You're saying your bucket list is completely, totally, and utterly checked off. There's not one thing more you would insist on checking off on that.
Oh, there is one thing more, and I'm working on it right now, and that's sticking it to the power company. If I stick it to the power company before I leave, then I'm going to be happy.
So you're wanting to give them a three-fingered read between the lines salute, huh?
Yeah, I'm wanting to, like on the way out, watch their wallet, like they'll be hollering in the inside their wallet. They'll be going, hello, 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 hello.
Echo. What, a cloud of dust shoots up out of it?
Yeah, a big old cloud of cobwebs and dirt comes up and sticks to their face, and they're like, doggone shiziz. Oh, man. That way the average Joe don't have to pay for electricity. And speaking of electricity and not paying for it, did you get a chance to see that video that I put the link in there yet for the static deal there?
I looked at some of that stuff before, so...
Well, I think I did a video...
more important to talk about is there's a discovery that they made basically where they used... They basically took the waste hemp fiber, right? After they get done processing it to get all the other stuff that they want out of it, the waste hemp fiber that ends up getting thrown away, they stuck it inside of like the equivalent of an autoclave, like basically, you know, a controlled environment, superheated it up, and turned it into a carbon substance that's actually better for making batteries than graphene.
Cool.
So, you know.
All right, let's put this on everybody's survival list. Hemp. You got to grow hemp and some wacky tobacco for just such an emergency.
Well, I mean, if we do have an apocalypse and the government collapses, then, you know, nobody will be around to tell you can't do something that's a great idea anymore.
Yeah, so, you know
that's all they're doing is they're basically just telling people, hey, you can't do that because, you know, we got these companies that are doing something else and we don't need you competing with them, you know. We got trees to cut down and make into toilet paper. We can't have you making toilet paper out of hemp. You'll start competing with these guys cutting down these trees, man. Then you know, what will they do? What'll happen to their jobs? You know, you'll take their germs, you know.
You took my job. Yeah, but man, I'll tell you what. Look, I've been sitting around, I've listened to all the doomsday prophecies and everything from Planet X to all this kind of stuff, and I've been telling people, because I'm not paranoid, well, I guess I am slightly paranoid, but I'm not stupid by any means. You know, maybe some of these, like Planet X, okay, if Planet X hits you, it doesn't matter if you got a bunker, we're screwed. And so you don't even have to plan for Planet X. So it's a, you know, way out the apocalypse kind of thing, you know. Planet X, right. Y2K, that kind of stuff.
Hey, back to the paranoid thing. There's two things that I've, you know, kind of hold on to there when it comes to that. It's paranoia is not bad. It's paranoid delusional that becomes bad. Paranoia is more of a buzzword for heightened awareness.
Well, that's, you know? I'm heightened.
And never assume that just because people are telling you you're paranoid that they aren't actually out to get you.
The doggone problem is, though, you know, it's always something stupid that starts the apocalypse, the real apolypse, you know. Like back during when 9/11 happened, hold on a second, that same day, everyone rushed to the doggone gas station because they heard that gas was going to go up to $5 a gallon because now we were going to go fight with the Arabs. And they were so afraid they weren't going to get no gas that they
right. Did we not just go through though an oil storm right before that?
Yeah, but
I can't remember that happened before, because I mean there was a TV show on the Discovery Network, I believe it was one of the stations, like the weather station or something like that, that showed this as like kind of a pseudo this could happen kind of documentary, where they basically showed a hurricane hitting the southern coast of America and destroying an oil refinery, and it causing a cascade of events that led to gasoline being like $8 a gallon. And it was only $8 a gallon because there was no one there to raise it up anymore because the gas station got closed down. No one could buy gas anymore, right? And right after that happened, I believe it was Katrina that hit and started the cascade of events that almost led to that. The one deciding factor that was different in the story versus reality was we didn't have two super tankers, one with chemicals and one with oil, trying to squeeze through, going opposite directions through the Mississippi, and colliding and basically clogging up that pathway to get to the other oil refineries further up the river.
Yeah, but see,
so, you know, hit $4, $5 a gallon then, right? Was that before 9/11 though, or after?
I don't remember. All I can say is that all they had to do is used to have the thought that doggone they were going to get no gas. And so they rushed out there and they were fighting at the gas pumps and all that kind of stuff, arguing and cussing with each other because, you know, somebody cut in line or whatever. And the same thing would apply to the banks and the grocery stores. See, human nature just kind of, it's whack, man. I don't understand people's priorities. They laugh in your face when you talk about prepping ahead of time. But yet, whenever all heck breaks loose, they're the ones that are not in line cussing you out because you got the last loaf of bread or the last bottle of water and wanting to fight with you, you know?
Instead of, well, not you, because, you know, you prepped ahead of time, so you don't have to be down there with them.
Well, I'm just saying, if you happen to be down there with them in that particular, that's just a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be
you
there.
You have to be that guy that's there ahead of the other cussing each other because they didn't take the time just to prepare a little bit ahead of time. I mean, it's good sense to prep even if nothing ever happens, because when you buy in a little bit larger quantity of goods, you basically save money on, you know, trips to the store. You save money usually by buying a little bit of bulk.
Yeah.
You know, it's cheap per you know, source. But then, you know, they can't just be lazy and run to, you know, McDonald's or Simple Simon's to get themselves a pizza or a hamburger.
Well,
you know,
it's
because they spent their money on food, and they actually have to make the food at home and you know, have some human interaction with their family and whatnot, you know.
It's as simple
wants that.
It's as simple as having an extra Band-Aid in your medicine cabinet, you know. One of you falls down and skins your knee, and you only got one Band-Aid left. Who gets the one Band-Aid, you know? Common sense dictates you always kind of look and see what you got and make sure you got more than what you need just in case some, you know, everybody falls down and skins their knees. I mean, everybody buys freaking car insurance and house insurance and life insurance and all kinds, but they don't have no kind of situation insurance for just such an emergency that somebody up there goes and robs some cigars and then gets shot and then they riot.
Here's the question, though. If you get car insurance, what's the likelihood that there may be some time where you're without a car?
A long time, man.
Well, and see, that's what I'm saying, though. The type of insurance that you're talking about there isn't really that great when it comes to a situation like that.
Well, look, I can't
having
testify
stuff,
for, stock,
having
for the product.
Stuff stocked up on the shelf, right, but having some stuff stocked up on the shelf is kind of like insuring your car by buying a second car in case your car gets into a wreck so you have time to fix it.
That's common sense right there. So you can't use common sense today. We got all right. Somebody kicked Thomas off the planet. He's got too much common sense. We can't deal with this guy.
Got kicked out the window.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I buy an extra car just in case. I love it.
I do keep saying common sense is so rare it's almost considered a superpower now. You know.
Yeah. Common sense these days is antisocial.
Yeah,
there you go. That's your superhero power. I'm damn it, man. You're common sense, man. And I can't remember what cultist was.
I'm a bastard guy.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I would say you're Darwin, man. You fell down that hole, stay down there, and we'll make sure that never happens to anyone else again.
Well, look, if I fall down the hole, I'm going to make the best out of a bad situation. If I fall down the hole, I'm taking a nap because sleep time doesn't come along very much, you know.
So you're going to turn into Rip Van Winkle Man, huh?
Yeah, I will roll my little white flag up there and say, I'm down this hole and I'm taking a nap, so come back and get me in about 20 winks or so. Yeah. But I ain't worried about the doggone apocalypse. I'm just trying to point out that it all starts from something stupid, man. You know, Y2K, that same thing. They ran out and they bought generators and everything under the sun, which, you know, good. I'm glad they did. I mean, it helped the economy out immensely. But, you know, it's human nature whenever things go awry. You know, right now, like I said, they want to call you stupid for trying to prepare. Oh, you're just a paranoid, schizophrenic, tinfoil hat-wearing, doggone conspiracy nut. That's you saving all that stuff up. You ain't going to need that. Well, then when everything, all heck breaks loose, guess who they're going to look for? The guy with the aluminum foil on his head. Not tinfoil. Doggone it, doggone call jacking up again. Alright, hopefully we'll get him back here. Do-do-do-do-do. You're listening to Shazia's Mad Science and Touch of Common Sense. I think I'll throw on a quick tune here while I'm waiting for the doggone Skype to figure out what it's doing. We must be talking about too much common sense. Show. Let me see if I can find a song here before.
Rile him up some more.
All right, you guys are back.
Here he is.
You guys are back. Doggone it. All right.
Did your rant stop in the middle there, or you know, was it just you connected with us that got interrupted?
You guys went the internet connection thing, and I was like sitting there complaining on the deal about it. And so either way, we're back.
I theorize that someone stole another air compressor and left it between you and it was just that was internet connection.
Look, as long as they stay off my doggone lawn. Yeah. Told the cop, I said, I know it's not my birthday, so it has to be stolen. I'm going to go shut the door and turn on the air conditioner. All right.
You're not going to shut the door and turn on the air compressor? Oh.
No. Hey, don't say that too loud. Don't say that too loud because they'll think I stole it, you know? Anyway, so, you know, I got this, I put this video out yesterday, static, and you can actually see some pretty good stuff going on in there. That thing's pretty heavy, and it's actually moving, you know, every time I put my hand in the general vicinity, it's working like the atmosphere motor. But my point is that I believe that we could take all these technologies and combine them in together to make one really awesome generator. You know, using the plasma and the corona effect off of coils and, you know, high voltage and static and ion drives and stuff like that. All these things combined in together, I believe, would make one really powerful generator. What do you guys think? Man, I can hear birds chirping.
Put it in the back of your mind.
Tweet, 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 tweet. There you go. Oh man, I stayed up too late. Thomas stayed up too late. Coltus stayed up too late. Everybody stayed up too late. We're all tired, so we're just going to talk about the apocalypse. You know what, Thomas, if the light even so much as flickers, I'm looting your house.
God. You better.
I guess I better get another shotgun. Gotta have damn it man proof bullets, because you know,
yeah,
regular ones won't work for him.
So hey, visualize this.
Unless you show up as get off my lawn man.
Yeah, that'd be the guy.
Hey,
visualize this. Me and Coltus is at Thomas's house for a visit, right? The light just blinks just for a second, and me and Coltus has got a bunch of Thomas's stuff shoved in our shirts and pockets.
When the light comes back on.
He's like, I saw you, man. The light even wasn't off long enough.
Trouble if you fall out of the bottom of my shirt and think, come on, up low. I'll just stand there and a blank will come on.
Yeah.
Thomas is all like, I saw you. The light wasn't even off long enough for you it to be dark.
My only statement would be, it's strong enough to suit me.
It's the apocalypse, man. That's my excuse. I want.
At least we. But if you do that, we can keep it all in the family. If the light flickers and you suddenly, you know, when it comes back on, you're standing around with stuff shoved under your shirt, and it's actually from someone else's house. So,
but
you know, we got a problem.
What? Yeah. What I'm worried. Yeah.
Stop blaming me.
What I'm worried about is if the light so much as flickers, Coltus might reach over and sock me in the jaw and try to blame it on you. Because, you know, if it's dark, who's going to know who hit who?
To start hitting everything.
I'm like, hey, dude, I saw you do it. It was Thomas.
It was Elvis. Moon.
Oh, man. Well, at least...
Steve Lincoln, get him!
At least we'd make the best out of a bad situation if the apocalypse happened while we were around. That's all I can say.
Yep, I'm pretty sure I have probably most of the stuff that I'd need for my end of restarting civilization should we have a complete collapse.
I got more coming.
Well, I got plenty of bugs, and I got all kinds of junk, and shoot, man. If all hell breaks loose, just make your way over here. Cultus can make him a pop-pop boat and float over here, and then we'll retrieve him with our homemade tanks.
All I need is a couple of rear projection TVs and an oil boat and some copper pipe, and I'm good to go, boys.
Well, I got an idea what you could do.
Allen's swing.
What you could do, Cultus, is you could run down to your local store where they sell them party helium deals. First you got to bash in the window and loot all the helium you can get your hands on, and then fill up all the balloons inside the package, and then tie them to you and just float over here and hope you catch the right stream coming in so that you don't end up back where you started.
You have to be facing back while you're floating. You have to be facing back towards where you just came from with, that salute.
Yeah.
As you're underway.
Why do I hear the music?
Well, when we see you coming over, if it looks like you're going to pass, I got a pellet rifle, and me and Thomas will sit there and shoot the balloons out and get you down in the yard there, see? Just hope our aim's good.
Yeah. The aim will the quality of the aim would be directly to the last conversation we had.
Yeah, whether or not we had.
I think I'm going to have myself a nice bit of board directly under me.
Bit of what?
Piece of board.
Oh, plywood, 2x4s, 5x9s, 10x12s.
I got the plywood under me.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to the apocalypse as long as you guys are in the neighborhood, because it'd be a blast.
Oh, yeah. We're surviving.
We seriously need to get on getting one of these networks to fund us doing a post-apocalyptic reality TV show, man.
Oh, it'd be a hoot, man. Oh, man. The whole crew. Everybody in here. It'd be a hoot.
Not like it wouldn't be without its drama either.
No. Oh yeah, we'd be arguing over who was right and who was wrong in the alternative energy side and all that kind of stuff, but outside of that,
we'd end up with one of those guys that would basically be arguing about what color the thing is that we're working on has to be before we can start building it.
Yeah. We don't care what it looks like, man, as long as it works. No, it's gotta look good, man.
Come on, we gotta slap a coat of paint on that thing and make it look good. it ain't finished till it's painted.
Well, let's paint it really bright orange so that all the looters know what to grab when they come by.
Yeah. I've seen if I can find an old solar panel building, a giant Ode to Houdini, a big Houdini motor out in the middle of the desert here.
Yeah.
Just build it.
I just want to I just want to get a whole bunch of wire.
Yeah.
I want to get a whole bunch of copper wire and shimmy up a telephone pole or a light pole out there, since the power grid's already going to be down, and wind me a secondary, and then get a whole bunch of copper tubing at the bottom and make me a primary. Then shimmy back up the pole and put a top load on that thing, or else I could just use the entire power grid for the top load. That's probably a better idea. And just fire that puppy up, man. What do you think?
Well, I'll say, I'm back on that graphite thing, the graphene idea with the hemp, they did actually, and a lot of people are going to miss this because everybody's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over hemp and whatnot. They're just so crazy about that particular plant because they've been told they can't have it, But the researchers told them, they said, you get a totally different type of carbon configuration out of like banana peels. Every plant has its own configuration. There's all these different resources we could be making from all these waste materials that come from just various plants that we don't use. Just throw it in the container, don't let it burn, and heat it up until it breaks down into carbon. And Robert Murray Smith has already shown that throwing two dissimilar materials of carbon against each other, he's getting, you know, half a volt.
Yeah, he's good. He's got some really good research going on, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not. You see these people running around going, "Oh my God, I made free energy! I made free energy!" with their little crystal battery. It's making like maybe 20 millivolts.
He's in a volt range.
Yeah, it's like he's like at half a volt. I mean, come on, man. Six of them, you can run something that needs 3 volts to run off of it. You know, like those flashlights and stuff that take 2 AA batteries. You know.
Yep.
You can stack a whole lot more than that up for, you know, enough voltage to make sure you have, just off that design he has, if we could find out what the amperage is, of course, we need how many, you know, milliamps he's getting off of that sheet, so we know how wide it needs to be, how many, you know, how many parallel stacks of it we need to stack up to get the voltage. But almost positive, you could basically make a sealed battery that runs a laptop off of, that would just fit on the bottom of it, like, you know, an extra layer to the bottom of it, like laying a paper notepad underneath your electronic notepad and power it off of it indefinitely.
Well, you know that in the disposable cameras, there's actually a little step-up transformer that runs off of, like, 3 volts inside there. And so, man, you could step that up to some high voltage. And have you ever took apart one of them little disposable cameras? Those things will shock the crap out of you, man.
Well, think about this, okay? If he's getting half a volt out of 2 sheets of paper, think about setting up a nice big, like, you know, say, a Slayer excited that's running off of, like, say, you know, 30-amp MOSFETs, right? And tying it down to a brick about the size of, like, say, you know, looking around for you know, a general idea. So, I mean, even just, you know, something as big as a full tower computer case, but it's nothing but just layers and layers and layers of that paper stacked on top of each other and sealed up with that stuff in it to get that. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm sure you could probably stack, what's a ream of paper, 500 sheets is about 2.5 inches thick.
Man.
So, you know, if you're working with 8 inches worth of thickness, that's 2,000. You're basically looking at almost 1,000 volts of DC power to run through your Slayer Exciter before you hit that Tesla coil you're running off of it, you know? Or more specifically, the Tesla transmission system that Cultus has been pointing everybody in the right direction on, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying, man.
What could you do with that, you know?
Oh, heck, you could have a lot of fun with that, man. You know, when I talk about building a high-voltage motor and talking about getting work out of a motor, a high-voltage, people don't realize you don't need currents, amps, and watts until you get down to the actual load itself. And so it's depending on how you want to put the energy together before you actually get there. Now, they're running regular generators that are already designed for currents, amps, and watts. And so, you know, you don't have to worry about it. But it's there's a trade-off there, because now you're dealing with back EMF, and the more load you put on it, the more the generator bogs down. And so my system is basically bringing the high voltage in, arcing it across to huge capacitor banks, and when that capacitor banks gets charged up, man, you're talking about some serious power. Those things, like 800 microfarad capacitor, will literally blow your finger off, you know. And so, if you got a huge capacitor bank and you got enough high voltage coming in to charge that doggone capacitor bank on demand, you can use that capacitor bank just like a battery, and run that into inverter systems and run your AC off of that. So, I'm not worried about currents, watts, and amps in the generation portion of it. All I'm trying to do is move the energy from point A to point B. And
And you'd get that much easier push if you had a massive stack of those, even if they're only getting, like, you know, 1 or 2 milliamps of power out of that. If you've got, you know, a stack of 2,000 of those sheets to get 1,000 volts out of that, you're still going to have that same, you know, that same milliamp.
Exactly.
The amperage isn't going to change when you stack in series like that, just the voltage.
And if somebody wanted to get high tech about it, I mean, I keep saying everything can be scaled up and scaled down, and if you're only getting half a volt, and you micro-size a step-up transformer for that half a volt to bring it up to high voltage, then shoot that across to a capacitor, you got multiples in these, like a big giant circuit board full of these little circuits that are picking up individually a half a volt apiece and stepping it up to high voltage. You see what I'm saying here?
Right. Well, that same substance that they're working with to make those batteries would also work for some really durable high voltage capacitors too, because I mean he made a capacitor basically with that graphene paint that he's working with that he made the battery with and was able to charge it with 230 volts and no breakdown.
You can
you do that with one of those 16 volt capacitors and that thing will pop like a popcorn kernel.
Yep. You can hook a battery directly in parallel with any capacitor, and you're not going to drain that battery down because basically the energy in that battery is going to fill up until it levels out with the same voltage in the capacitor that you have in the battery. So therefore, now you got a battery going on, you got the capacitor going on, you're feeding energy into the capacitor from your source, and you're actually charging that battery back up because nature's always going to level that energy out. Whatever is in that capacitor is going to be in that battery and vice versa. This is how I've been doing this little deal over here where I got 6600 UF capacitor.
I don't say what you're talking about is kind of something they're working with regenerative braking. Like when you're stopping, you're basically using magnetic field against coils and the lens effect to basically put drag on your wheels as you're stopping, and you're generating electricity. And because, you know, charging a battery up is not easy. It takes some push, so you end up with a lot of wasted power, so the capacitors are hooked up in parallel, so the battery just soak up all that energy that the battery can't absorb, and then slowly let it back out until while the battery is able to absorb it.
Yep.
Or just charge it back through your motor system to basically give you your takeoff power.
But if you're supplying it on demand and you're using it on demand, you can keep a level flow across that battery and the capacitor and never have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm talking about. So like, it's really super simple to make a high voltage generator. I mean, you don't need all the current amps and watts until you get to the stage where you're actually going to put it under a load. By the time you get to that stage, you have more energy than you need, and it's coming in on demand and charging those capacitors up. Some of these newer capacitors that they got are incredible as far as their charge and discharge rate. I mean, they're getting better and better, and with this graphene technology and stuff like you're talking about using the different carbon from the hemp, I mean, I only see the battery and the capacitor technology getting even better, you know. I can even see a capacitor or a battery that would sit there and charge it while you're not using it, just picking up energy off the doggone air. I know that sounds...
Well, that's the question. It's where the energy is coming from in that all-carbon battery. Because, I mean, you're not in a galvanic reaction. You're actually getting two dissimilar materials that are interacting with each other and breaking down to create a substance that doesn't, you know, is basically a lower energy state, like with sulfur and copper and zinc all involved together, right? So you end up with basically one of those metals turning into a sulfate. He's working with just basically salt water, meaning the salt is already at the lowest state it can get to, and paper and carbon. What can break down in that? Both plates are carbon. So there's no, you know, they both have a valence of four. Then neither one wants to interact with the other. So where's the energy coming from?
Well, that's a good question, man.
And that's why there's so much excitement, because there's just not really any potential for that to break down. That if that's generating a half a volt now, as long as it's kept wet and has the salt in it, it's going to keep generating that half volt. It's never going to stop.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, we got enough knowledge and enough technology to build some really amazing things. I even visualize toys that anytime they're in the range of a magnetic field, that they'll just start spinning and won't stop until you either shut the source off or move it away from it. I've been watching some of these wireless technology. I seen a video just yesterday where the guy had the light bulb on, And he didn't have, there wasn't nothing more than just a CFL light going on, kind of like the energy saver bulbs. Of course, you know there's a coil in there, so there's also a magnetic field being generated around that deal, but it was working just like a Slayer Exciter or a Tesla coil, and he was actually charging up some small circuits with that thing. Now, that don't sound like a whole lot, but there's energy being used there that would have normally been wasted, and so you can expand on that. With that battery technology that Robert Murray's working on, you could expand on it even more. So, you know, that I get so frustrated because we should be so much further advanced technologically speaking than we are where we are right now. We're sitting around here talking about sometimes ancient technology like the old Mercury arc rectifier, man. I'd love to have one of those. I'd rather have a modern updated version with just some inert gas in there because I don't really like the idea of accidentally busting the mercury vapor bulb when it's in the middle of the plasma stage when all that gas is vaporized, because then I'll be dumber than I am now, so I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? But all the pieces of the puzzle are there. I just want to get the dream team together and build something and get it done, man. You know, I'm kind of impatient. After all,
welcome to American culture, man.
Yeah, the apocalypse has already begun,
when it
man.
Comes to that whole impatience.
Well, my impatience doesn't stem from, you know, not getting my way. My impatience stems from the apocalypse is already here, man. It started in St. Louis. I got to get this done before the power goes down and I can't tell nobody about it. See, that'd be my luck. I could get right to the stage. It's already done. It's proven. It works. I'm getting ready to put the video out. And then suddenly, bam, there's the apocalypse. And the power goes out. I'm like, well, that really sucks. I spent all them years trying to get that together. I can't stick it to the man. Now I'm going to have to go out door to door, get passing out flyers, which I ain't going to be able to print out because I won't have any electricity.
What?
You got a little cascade there.
The worst problem I see in all this is the beer's going to get hot.
Well, it ain't getting hot at my house because I'll have electricity at my house. That's what.
Well, I was say there's plenty of beers if that's how you're supposed to drink them is hot. So I guess those will probably be the first ones that get looted then.
Yeah.
We can keep this around forever, man. It's supposed to be hot.
No, you see, you got to be wise.
Better when it's hot.
When we went to a family reunion and we knew how the youth like to sneak around and raid coolers in the middle of the night. We put a sacrificial cooler out there with all the crappy stuff in it and hid the other ones. And so when they come around and looted it, all they got was the cheap beer. They thought they were making out like a bandit, man, while they're over there drinking some black label beer that was like probably scraped out of the bottom of the bucket at the steel distillery. We were out there drinking Coronas with lime on the side of it, you know. Little umbrella drink.
I know people think you were getting the shaft on that. If you still, that's all you had afterwards.
Yeah, that was.
Of course, I know some real beer snobs. So.
Either way, man. Yeah, you got to put a sacrificial. When the looters come around, have a sacrificial deal there for them. That way they'll say, hey, look, man, there's a bunch of stuff, and they'll run off with it, and you'll laugh because they just took away all the trash that you didn't want.
Nah, what you need is a cult.
A cult?
Yeah.
Like,
what? Not as in the firearm.
Like the religious cult?
No.
You mean like the horse cult?
No. As in, you put all the real expensive beer out there, and I'll sit on your freaking esky and wait for little bastards.
Oh, okay. I see what that cultist. You had us worried there. We thought you wanted to like join one of them Jim Jones groups or something.
Oh man,
I ain't drinking no Kool-Aid, man. Not even in apocalypse, especially not in apocalypse. going to your buddy's house. Hey, brother, I made dinner for you. Come on in. Yeah, you eat dinner and then you keel over and then he goes over and loots your house. What do you say we take a music break and go get some coffee, man? Sound like good plan?
That's our plan, man.
All right, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned. It might get madder.
Madder.
Mad.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath. Yeah. Ooh. You're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? Cause we shared the laughter and the pain and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. And there's nothing left here to remind me. Just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now. Just an empty space. And you coming back to me is against the odds. That's what I've got to face. I wish I could just make you turn around. Turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you. So many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me. And me now.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. found strong, healthy lungs. Soldier? Soldier? Come on. Soldier? Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children.
If you're around me in the center of my voice, there's girls and boys, well, you may have a choice. You can do what you say, so you can buy all my toys. Just come down for help, jump around, make some noise. I never lie to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too, just do what you do. Consume and gobble it up. Come on, show me some love, I'll be blowing you on.
Held there was rather pathetic. He's intrepid online auctioneers, so just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not crickets, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretsy.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth at the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays.
a copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello everybody, welcome back to Shazam's Mad Science. We're just going to glue some gears on it today because we're all tired. How y'all doing, man? Anybody who got their coffee awake yet?
They call it steampunk.
Yeah. So I could smash up a few old clocks and we can make some money on eBay, brother. What do you think?
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Gotcha. What?
You don't even have to smash the clocks up. Somebody will sell you the smash clocks really cheap.
we'll glue them to your glasses, man. Use like super glue.
And I already dropped them on the pavement the other night. Got some nice big scratches right in the front, man.
Oh, I'm
so upset.
That really sucks. I know I got spent $190 on a set of glasses, a pair of glasses or whatever you want to call them. Spectacles, bifocals, goggles, or freaking binoculars.
So Coke bottle bottom so thick you can see the future?
Yeah, there you go. And then, about a week later, I had a scratch right in the center of it. I'm like, man. I go back and I say, can you buff this out? And he said, well, I can't buff it out because then you won't be able to see what you're doing. I'm like, all right.
They can do that. They can send it to the lab. They just have to, usually they have to recoat them too, though.
Yeah.
If you look at the edges of my lenses, you can see where the coating is worn off a little bit, and it's really cut into the material that the lens is made out of from just, you know, general. I mean, I use microfiber cloth to clean the lenses, you know.
Well, you
it
know.
It won't even scratch acrylic or Lexan, yet it's, you know, just like taking sandpaper to that edge over time, you know.
They say that wacky tobacco is good for your eyes, man. You know, no, I'm serious.
Smoke.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying. That's what they, because all that squinting going on. Have you ever looked at the doggone, like the Eskimos wear these really thin slit goggles so that they don't get blinded?
Oh, yeah. They had glasses that they sold for a while there for basically anybody that was nearsighted. That was just basically a bunch of little tiny holes poked into a surface.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's why that other stuff is good for your eyesight because you're squinting. You're like, hey, I see good now.
Not good for the appetite, eh?
Hey, might be.
Or maybe too good.
But I don't think you need that in the apocalypse because then you're already going to be having trouble like rationing your food. And if you eat all your food up in the first day, then... I don't know, man. Oh, and it's not the apocalypse that we're talking about. It's Doomsday. Doomsday.
It's affordable at a very, available at a very affordable rate.
Yeah. It's Doomsday that we're worried about. Stephen.
Stephen tells you.
Stephen in the chat room explained apocalypse, and so I guess I should say Doomsday from now on. I don't know.
A pop bottle licks.
A pop bottle licks. Is that what you just said? Man.
I do that all the time. Somebody was talking about Oklahoma. I said, "Oh my God, Oklahoma! What?"
You know, somebody used to do that to me all the time, and I went on online and signed them up for a whole bunch of free brochures for Miracle Ear. To this day, my uncle's still getting.
I treat my hearing dysfunction like some people treat their insanity. They're not suffering from it; they're enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah. Well, to this very day, my uncle still gets letters in the mail trying to sell him Miracle Ears and updates. He hears fine. He just changes every word I say.
Yep. Or like Dr. Steele says, I'm crazy. I can do whatever I want. Living my own little world, and you're invited.
Well, I think I'd kind of rather be in a funny kind of crazy world than the kind of crazy world that we're actually finding ourselves living in today. I mean, the lack of common sense is what kills me. I mean, okay, so somebody did you wrong, and you went out and burnt down your own community, so chances are you're probably not going to be able to go down to the local convenience store for your favorite donut/slurpee or whatever, because now, you know, it's not there anymore, and that company decided not to rebuild.
Oh, my God.
And then...
You went there. Donut shake.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then... And then you ain't going to have a freaking job because you burnt down that tire shop that you could have got employed at. And so it just, the whole lack of common sense.
Well, hey, while you're burning everything down and you're running from the police who basically are trying to stop everybody from looting, you have to remember to shout out, I told you I don't have any donuts.
Yeah. Man,
but
look,
I have a little chuckle, police facing you.
Thomas, you ever make me mad, I'm burning down my neighborhood. That's all I can say.
Save it clear as all that brush.
I don't want to test that.
I won't.
Oh, hold on. I want Shaziz.
Yeah.
Tesla is weenie.
Oh, that's it. My neighbor's house is gone.
Fire. Crackle. I was trying to make you mad, so.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to give that offer to Coltus because he would try to test the theory just like you did. So I didn't think he was going to go there, so I tried it with you.
He might go further than I did.
Yeah.
Well, no, my only problem, I'm thinking that Shaziz considers the world his neighborhood. So does that mean he's going to light the world on fire?
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go. All right, everybody board your house up. Here comes Shaziz. Yeah, I ain't got enough energy to go out and go on a tyrannical rage on the whole planet, man. It's a good thing I'm not God, because I'd be sending lightning bolts everywhere. You know what I'm saying? See, Steve just said cannabis is good for glaucoma.
It's good for coughs, colds, and sores in your eyes.
Yeah, for your eyeballs. All right, so either way, man, hemp's good for making clothes and building houses, and there's like, 50,000 products you can make out of the stuff?
Yeah, and if you look up Rick Simpson's Run for a cure is cancer and all kinds of things.
Well, so why are we still killing everybody's immune system with chemotherapy, man?
Money!
Ugh. Well, during the I was getting ready to say apocalypse, during the doomsday, how are we going to rephrase that? Because apocalypse kind of sounds long term, but doomsday kind of sounds like, you know, it's one single day.
Well,
one day and it's over.
Who cares about being publicly correct?
Alright, During the
yeah, end, I was say, during an apocalypse or doomsday, nobody's going to care about being PC.
Yeah. Okay. So either way, during all that time there, then you ain't going to be able to go to the doctor. So people's going to need to know about those alternative cures. And you know, heck, I was telling somebody because they talked about hemp seed oil would literally cure diabetes. And so I was telling them, you know, if you already got the doggone disease, you know, what's it hurt to eat, you know, try it, you know? Either that or insulin shots every single day. I think I'd rather try the hemp seed oil than insulin.
What's the worst that happens? You accidentally get high.
Yeah, well, there's no THC in hemp seed oil.
It might actually stop a fight you were about to get into.
Yeah.
I
mean, they didn't call it the peace pipe for no reason, man.
Exactly. Yeah, because we all heard about it. And the man who smoked too much weed went home and bashed his wife.
What exactly was my ancestor smoking in them pipes? That's what I want to know.
Wasn't that corn maze, brother?
Yeah, well, it wasn't corn silk, because that stuff's harsh. Somebody said, hey, make a corn cob pipe and smoke corn silk. I said, all right. That was a stupid thing to do. Hey, if you're a redneck, you got to try it, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Either way, you know, Popeye the Sailor Man, he had a corn cob pipe, and he ate spinach and got real strong and beat the crud out of people. You know, I ate a can of spinach and my brother beat the crap out of me.
Hey, I know work is advertised on TV.
Yeah, that's what I should do, go back and get a class action lawsuit against Popeye the Sailor Man. That's false advertisement, talking about I'm going to be strong after eating my spinach.
He was created as propaganda for spinach, wasn't he?
Pretty much, because they sold a lot of spinach, man. They even had Popeye brand.
There you go.
Yeah, so basically, you know, if you...
Had a Popeye video game?
If you
had to go get the spinach, so you beat up Bluto?
Yeah, if you go get a can of Popeye spinach and you eat that down and then sock your big brother in the face, you're getting beat up, man. That's false advertisement, man. Yeah, if that was the real deal, man, everybody would be running around there eating that stuff. You'd see every other person with every other tooth knocked out, because everyone would be, you know, fulfilling their old grudges.
According to television, mate, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be spinach. There's plenty of products out there this day and age. Like, we're going nuts.
Looks like Dr. Ron 7D said something. Have you seen the 3D printing pens?
3D printing pens, yes. Yes. They're just like the 3D printer, except you hold the little pen by hand.
Oh, wow.
It feeds the hot plastic out, and you can draw freehand with them. They're pretty cool.
That sounds pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah.
But you better have a steady hand, man.
Yeah.
Don't have the coffee jitters and try to be precise.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, precision prototyping wouldn't be something you'd want to tackle.
Yeah, and then if you had like an itch on your nose and went to trace your face. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it's not actually much different, probably, than you know, what I was doing when I was working for a jewelry manufacturer, where I would basically turn down a soldering iron until it was just barely warm enough to liquefy wax, and then I'd get a big bead of wax built up on it, touch it to the ring, and then pull back, and it would leave a streamer that I could, you know, when it was cast, that would basically get wrapped around the stone.
Huh.
So.
Just
cool. Basically change that out to it being a tube that you can push it through and squeeze it out of, like, what is it, hot melt glue guns. But, you know, use wax or use, you know, PLA or something like that.
Cool.
Could be quite useful.
Well, I had the opportunity to use a doggone hand engraver. That was pretty good. It was precise. It was probably about a, at that time, it was like a $200 or $300 deal, and that thing was like writing with an ink pen. That was pretty awesome. And I got to do some.
Was it one of those rotary stylus, or was it the hammer style?
It was rotary kind of deal. It's like, you know, had a little.
Okay.
It's almost like a Dremel, a little. It's about the size of a pen too. It is like a Dremel, but that night you did some glass etching and some hot stamping and all kinds. My stepdad used to own a engraving company, and so I did all kinds of cool stuff with that. 3D printer, not a 3D printer, but a flatbed printer for doing like name tags and stuff like that.
Nice.
It was cool. Anyway. So, back on the mad science there, man. What do you think about the combination of the static motor, the corona motor, the atmospheric motor, some plasma technology, some high voltage and all that kind of stuff? What do you think? Does it sound workable to you?
I think if you put a fundraiser together, you'll get a lot more money than somebody who's trying to build a common sense, no recharge battery that doesn't have any sparks or whirs or gizmos or flashes or anything for people to go ooh and ah over. You get that plasma shooting some arcs off, and all of a sudden everybody will lose it, you know, and have to double click that donate
button. Right, money,
yeah. Can't donate fast enough. Yeah. Take my money now, you know.
Well, I ain't trying to raise any money. But if I were, that would be probably the better cause. I don't know. You got to have some sort of generating system that can plug into, eventually, the doggone inefficient appliances around here, because everybody can't afford to go out and buy a new washer and dryer and all that kind of stuff. However, if you had any common sense and you studied a little bit about electricity and remodified your stuff and changed the voltage ratings on it, and instead of running it on 120 or 220 volts AC, you turn around and drop that motor down to a DC motor that had more torque and run the thing for less. So, it's a matter of, can you build it? Can you modify it? Can you get the inefficient junk that you got to work during the doomsday scenario of epic proportions? I was walking past a washboard the other day. You know, one of those old ripple-looking washboards that they used to rub their clothes on in the creek? And I told my wife, I said, that's what I'm buying for you.
Well,
she said, I'll hit you over the head with it.
I was going to see you doing that. Hospital.
Well, I was going to say, a washing machine doesn't really do anything except fill up the water, empty the water out, and, like, you know, rotate back and forth. I mean, why couldn't you run that off a windmill?
You could.
You don't need no electricity for that.
All you need is an agitator, and Cultus is the perfect agitator. He'll sit there and mock that. Hey, you look funny, and your mama dresses you funny, and the clothes are getting agitated, and they get clean. What do you think? He got quiet. I must have hurt his feelings.
No, he's probably just thinking of a big comeback.
All right.
Remember, his cough probably hasn't fully kicked in.
Yeah. Anyway, so all you got to do during the doomsday is agitate your clothes, freeze dry them out in the blizzard, and knock the ice off and put them on right directly, and you got dry, stiff clothes. Well...
I had an idea to basically take a subwoofer.
Well, Steve, Steven found a better word, the collapse. Sorry, man, cut you off. Steven found a better word called the collapse.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What's collapsing?
The instead of doomsday, instead of apocalypse, the collapse. All right, now where were you going before I so rudely interrupted you?
Well, what if it's not a collapse? What if it's an explosion?
Or an implosion. Hey, you know, they do got CERN smashing stuff into each other.
Well, we've got that giant caldera that's underneath the entire state that Yellowstone Park is in, you know?
Yeah, my wife and my two daughters went to visit that. I was paranoid all the way to the time they left, all the way till the time they got back. I'm like, you know, the thing's having earthquakes over there. The lava fields are rising and all that, and the streets are melting. And you want to go right there? I mean, couldn't you pick somewhere better to go? Like, you know, maybe down to Branson or something. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I did look at the Doomsday map, and it did say that during the apocalypse, it did show on there that my state's still together, sort of. So, if the super volcano erupts, I'm going to have ashes in my yard, but I might still be alive. I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah, I was going to say. The last time it looked out, when it went off, I did a little bit of calculation on basically the wind and whatnot, and the distance from where it went off and where it was at the time. Mm-hmm. Israel was pretty much the spot that there was probably only any sunlight at.
Man.
So, 640 million years ago, you know, if there's any memory from that history at all, that might be why everybody thinks that's some blessed land, you know.
I don't know. I just
everything
maybe
else
we ought to move
shower
there.
In darkness and basically, you know, died off. So
maybe
it's
we
not going to be there though this time. The caldera's moved. So it'll be somewhere up in Siberia. Those people will be the lucky ones to get some sunlight.
So let's all move to Siberia and build us a bunker under the ice.
There you go.
What do you think?
Well, if you can survive in Siberia under the ice, you don't have to worry about having sunlight at that point.
Well,
you can live anywhere if you can build that.
Unless you get too much sunlight and then the walls and the roof start to leak.
Yeah, I'm thinking no.
Yeah. So, the best thing I can think about for the apocalyptic, not apocalyptic, doomsday, the collapse, I don't know. Heck, the end of the world. All right, we got to make a end of the world arc.
The end of the world as we know it.
We need to make it.
I feel fine.
We need to make this. We need to make this thing land, sea, and space worthy. So if planet X blasts us and sends us like flying off into space, we'll still be alive. And if it floods the entire globe, we'll still be alive.
Space whale.
Huh?
We need a space whale, eh?
Yeah. So when
just in case there are any Doctor Who fans out there, I'm sure they got the reference.
And then when we land on the next planet that we're going to land on, hopefully it's a planet that we can breathe when we get out, and there's not like them giant face-eating slugs or something like that, you know.
Otherwise, yeah, your plan's screwed.
Blood-sucking lizards, yeah. And you can't never come out.
Or worse yet, it's just a bunch of ugly critters that like to recite really bad poetry.
Yeah, there was one. That would be terrible.
What if we need the space vehicle? Space vehicle. Yeah. Well, all we need is some beer, peanuts, and the little black box thumb.
There was one I saw where these little creatures looked all cute and cuddly and everything, and then whenever you got close to them, they had like giant razor sharp fangs and they would munch your face off.
Ow, she sees. What's going on tonight, bro?
It ain't gonna be that.
Man. We've all lost our minds.
Yeah, there's something dark going on tonight, Shazis. What's going on?
I don't know. What am I missing?
I think it's just riled up over this whole Ferguson thing. So
what's the Ferguson thing?
Oh, that's a riot up there. They're like looting and pillaging and robbing and stealing, and because one guy went out and knocked off some cigars, and then he got shot by a white cop, and then all the black folks were protesting, and then it turned to a riot. Then the military police came in and shot some tear gas at them, and then the nice police came in and talked peace to them, and then the next thing you know, they're at it again. And so there were folks that weren't even living in the general vicinity going down there just so they could loot and pillage and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it brought us to the whole doomsday scenario kind of thing because...
discussion. Yeah. And
apparently,
yeah.
The apocalypse is back on, so we need to be prepared electric wise, alternative energy wise, food wise. You know, just about the time I'm about to say, you know, I'm tired of the prepping and the doomsday and all that kind of stuff, and I'm back to calm again. Somebody throws out another crazy scenario, and so
that's the point. You just nailed it right there. This is what's going on. Okay, it's not that it was a black guy and not a white guy, and everybody's this, everybody's that. It's that the media has basically said, everybody's calming down. They might actually start paying attention to what's really going on in Washington. So we got to throw something else out there and get them all shaken up. Because, you know, if they're not all fighting each other, they might actually turn on the people who are ruining the country.
Yeah, exactly.
And they made all the money they can make in off it, you know.
And so
let's get them all riled up about race. Let's get them all riled up about sexuality, you know, with the whole gay marriage thing. And let's get them all riled up about feminism and, you know, how women are being oppressed. Because if they calm down, they might figure out that the Federal Reserve has been basically counterfeiting money like crazy.
Well, I just saw a video where somebody showed a report about the feminists want to kill off 90% of all the males on the earth.
I believe it too.
I mean, what the heck, man?
Well, you get them all riled up with a bunch of nonsense like they've been being fed by the media and whatnot, you know.
What are they need us for, out. Man? They got embryos and stuff and whatever you need. They'll be right.
Anybody with a beard is evil. The more beardy they are, the more evil they are. That's kind of the mentality, you know.
Well, I grew a beard one time.
I mean, you have you seen Maleficent?
No.
Well, basically, in the general consensus, in the general storyline, what happens is a chick gets her wings cut off, right? And she storms around and destroys everybody's life out of anger and spite and hatred over this, right? She gets the whole 2 hours to go around and be mad at everybody, and it's okay. It's because she was wrong. But in the middle of the story, to save somebody, you know, and mind you, this saved her life. Otherwise, she was going to get killed, right? In the middle of the story, a guy that happens to be a raven bird gets, you know, his wings removed by her to save him, right? And he's like, I'd rather die than losing my wings. And what's her response? Get over it.
Man.
Just get over it. You're a guy. Get over it, you know?
I grew a beard one time, and Mom said I looked like Osama bin Laden. And at that time, they had like a $2.5 million reward out for Osama bin Laden. I was thinking,
God, I'd have ran you over with my car.
See?
Later.
And that beard's gone, man. Man. I tell you what, because, you know, I'm tall and skinny. Tall and skinny like Osama bin Laden. If I put one of them doggone Howard Johnson towels across my head, you know, it'd say like Motel 6 or something like that. Why do people steal towels?
Bunch in the U.S.
Yeah. Why do people go to motels just to steal the towels and the soap and the wash rags? Come on, man. Leave their stuff there.
I so would have done that, except they had my credit card details. So. Damn.
In the old days, people would walk out with the ashtray, the Bible, the towels. Or
man, I would have been lowering the bed out the window if they didn't have my credit card details. Just myself a bed.
I tell you what, I think Cultus is going to be...
this conversation.
I think Cultus is going to be one of the looters during the collapse. Better keep your eye on him.
During? I meant to wait.
Yeah, you got to wait, man. You can't do it. You can't do it until the lights flicker. When we're at Thomas's house. If we're at Thomas's house, if the lights flicker, then Katie bar the door. Put everything you can grab in your pocket.
This is radio. They've flickered 5 times since the radio show started. I'm just waiting on another flicker.
Oh.
You're just going to hightail it across the ocean and get you. just don't do it across his lawn, Cultus.
Oh, man.
Thomas, where can I score an industrial air compressor in Missouri this hour of the night?
Not at my house.
Donuts.
Oh, man. See, this
get
is...
Get off my lawn!
This is the kind of mad science discussion that the apocalypse slash collapse slash doomsday slash... I don't know.
It's one that guarantees our doomsday.
Yeah. So,
too much marketing around, no work.
Yeah, well, all work and no pleasure is, I don't know, play or pleasure, whatever.
I believe the phrase you're looking for is all work and no play makes Homer Simpson something something.
Yeah, that's it.
And can't cure that except the warm, glowy glow of the TV. Gotta
Homer Simpson's
that.
In St. Louis smashing in the Quick Trip to get some beer.
The Quickie Mart.
Yeah, the Quickie Mart.
Get out the Miss Killer, never come again.
I think Apu would get a little rowdy, though, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But either way, you know, it's prime example of how crazy this world can get at the drop of the hat, man. Some folks will fight at the drop of a hat. Hey, look, I dropped my hat. Pow! That's what. Don't drop your hat. Don't let the lights flicker. That's all I can say. But either way, be prepared for just such an emergency. So if I go to visit Cultus and Thomas at the same time, I'm wearing a hockey mask, a football helmet, Kevlar, static paper so that can't get shocked, or I'm going to try to cover every base. So when I walk in your house, it's going to be like this big, giant blob-looking thing.
Yeah, you're gonna look like you're ready for a biological containment level 4 facility, eh?
Yeah.
Ready to work with some Ebola.
Problem is, it'd probably be like one time I made this impenetrable fortress and started mouthing off at my wife. I had like all these blankets wrapped around me and pillows. And so what she did was she just ignored me, right? And I was burning up in there, man. I was waiting for her to come mug me and try to get me out of there. I was sweating to death, and finally, when I finally did come out, she cracked me with a pan. Oh, man. What a world. You got to learn to laugh in the face of adversity. Your life will get you down, man.
You do, man. This is very true. And it's easy if Mom's beating you with a pan.
Yeah. So... You know, get out there, download a bunch of how-to videos. There's a lot of them out there. One of my favorite guys out there is the crazy Russian hacker. Even though he gets a lot of thumbs down from people, he's got all kinds of really good ideas, man. He's like does videos like you've been eating a banana wrong all this time, and he shows how to open a banana in a different way. And then he's talking about you've been taking your shirt off wrong, and he shows how with just one hand he can take his shirt right off, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He's got all kinds of different things that have to do with cooking and blowing stuff up and you know, little science projects. If you haven't seen the crazy Russian hacker, go check him out. He's pretty neat.
Cool.
And he always puts his glasses on because he says safety is number one priority.
That kind of like Fire Marshal Bill putting on some safety glasses before he takes some pliers to his teeth and pulls a tooth out.
I didn't
what
get to see that.
That? Like what? I can't do something just for a little fun.
Oh man! Well, I ain't pulling my teeth out intentionally. Not with pliers.
Yeah, you already know firsthand what that's like.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's no fun.
That again.
That's no fun. That's the one thing that I think people keep forgetting. If there is some sort of collapse, all the food in the world will not fix a cavity.
Yeah.
Not going to pull a tooth.
That's why I said look into some alternative medicine.
Dentistry skills and some tools for that, you know?
I'm trying to get at it, Mike.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Trying to get at it, Mike.
People look at...
punch in the mouth.
People look at... they overlook the simple stuff like hydrogen peroxide, man. That stuff right there you can use to clean up an abscessed tooth if you rinse with it. Don't swallow it, obviously. But it does work.
Yeah, because if you swallow it and it tells you to call Poison Control Center, when you call them up, all you're going to get is laughter.
Yeah.
I have a friend who went through this. He accidentally swallowed some while he was gargling, and he was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And they started laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? I'm dying here. And like, if you were maybe six, you'd die. You're just going to probably burp quite a bit.
Well, could be worse.
You'll be fine. It's not that dangerous. You know, I wouldn't swallow it, but if you do accidentally swallow something, don't freak out. You know,
panic.
It's a lot less damaging to your body than that Listerine that most people use. You know.
But all I'm saying is that doggone it, got in the wrong place.
Get out of this.
All I'm saying is that you know. Things like hydrogen peroxide, alcohol, you know, rubbing alcohol, that kind of stuff, people overlook, you know, Band-Aids. You're not going to be able to run to the store if you need something, if all heck breaks loose. So you might want
to... You're not going to be able to go see the optometrist. You're not going to see the dentist. So yeah. Get all that stuff taken care of.
So if you got some sort of health issues, whether it be diabetes, look into things, alternative... remedies, you know, like cinnamon and hemp seed oil and stuff like that, and put you a little supply
crushed
back.
Crushed up clove into a cavity, that works pretty good.
Yeah. Temporarily.
Hey, man, that works.
But for the diabetes, prickly pear, man. Prickly pear. You can pick it up at a local Mexican market, too. They sell it all the time. It's too bad they don't sell it anywhere else, but it's got natural... plant-based insulin. So even if you've got type 2 diabetes, where basically your body's rejecting your own insulin, it won't reject it. It'll still use it, and it has nutrients in it that'll actually help rebuild the pancreas, so you don't have to keep taking it.
We're down to the last six minutes, guys.
Stuff is tasty.
Hold down the fort. Nature's knocking at the door.
Run, Shaziz. Run. Oh, I think he tripped over the dog and. Yep. That's it.
I'm gonna grab some ice.
Oh, so I'm gonna be here by myself. Just be like,
yeah, don't lose the shot.
What the heck? They just all like bailed up on the out of here on me. And now I'm left to run the radio show by myself. Rude. I thought you'd already gone. Now he has. And now I'm here by myself. Wonderful.
You'll get used to it after a while.
What the? Now you're back. The song, yeah. Are you coming or going?
No, I got my wireless headset.
Oh, so you're like...
Just waiting. You know, I'm going to drop out. Yeah, I had to walk somewhere. And it took a second for me to get it, so...
Yeah. Well, my redneck wind turbine's spinning,
dude. You ask me a question,
good.
You're like, what happened to him, man? Where'd he go? I don't even know where I'm at.
My redneck wind turbine's spinning really good outside.
Nice.
I'm going to modify that thing. I'm going to put the fins outside.
Take off.
Well, when I put the fins outside, it might take off.
Here's food for the thought. Here's food for thought for the week. What would happen if you built a Kelvin's thunderstorm, but with multiple levels and continued the crisscross pattern?
So no one's done it. So just, we need to try it?
Just think about it. What do you think would happen?
Just well, think man, about it. Time for a reality TV show, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what we need. So
I could do that one out of baked bean.
If you're a network out there and you want to make some money off some mad science and put us together a TV show.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. Well,
must be about that time, is it?
Yeah, we're down to the last 4 minutes, so that'll give you time to put out all your information and jaw jack and run us over to the next one.
Well, blah, 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 love you, take care, wherever you are in the world, ha, ha, ha. Come check out my website, kultus.weebly.com, kultus.weebly, weebly.com. And, yeah, Tom?
You use your button to basically add you on Skype and join in the Google...
Yeah.
Mad Science Happy Hour tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so everybody knows.
Don't forget about the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, man.
Ooh.
What's that?
Sacrilege.
What's that?
Knights of
what?
What? Knights of the Round Table, for Pete's sake. For crying out loud.
Who rules that?
Some crazy King Shaziz the Terrible, man. I hear he's ruthless. You gotta watch out for that guy.
Especially when the lights flicker.
Yeah, if the lights flicker, somebody's getting it.
The sauce is spinning in the middle of the room.
Oh, man.
Or somebody drives over his lawn.
Oh, that's definite. Yeah, you know what? It's all like Donkey Kong, you get on my lawn. That's all I can say about that. So
you gonna run out and frog or somebody?
Yeah. You ever had like a frog, like somebody run up and punch you in the muscle and frog your leg?
No.
That stinks, man. My brother used to do that to me all the time. He'd run up, holler frog, and then punch me in the leg. And I like go down.
You gotta do it with a knuckle sticking out because it causes the muscle to welt up real quick. But very bad for the muscle tissue.
A quick funny story though. I designed the phrase Arapaho, and it's funny because one of my daughters and my wife was up in Wyoming. They found a street that was named Arapaho Drive, and there was a stop sign by there. It said Arapaho Drive, and then there was a stop sign underneath there, so it's like stop Arapaho whatever. Either way, I said I wished I could have got my brother up there, because back in the day, if you imagine somebody in the baseball stance and you run up behind them and kick them from behind, you hit them in the buttocks and the junk at the same time and holler Arapaho like just seconds before you do it, and they drop. Nasty. Yeah, we started a war doing that, man. Me and everyone in the neighborhood was running around there hollering Arapaho, and that's the most terrifying sound you'll ever hear in your life, man. Because you know, seconds later, you're going down. Anyway, that's some of that apocalypse news. Well, so watch out for raving warriors running around Arapahoeing the planet.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yelling Arapaho.
Yeah.
Till tomorrow night, hey?
Yep. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Stay
care. Stay tuned right for the Hope
tomorrow
Show.
Night, tomorrow morning for nights.
Yeah, that's nights it. And round table. Be there or be square.
Crap. God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
21 gigawatts!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Well, this better be the best tasting beer in the world. You got lucky.